be here. Good to see everyone here. And we're thankful for each and every one of you. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 through 10. And of course, the writer, I believe, is Paul, is writing to the Hebrews. And the Hebrews, of course, are the Jews, the Jewish Christians. And verse 1 through verse 10, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. That would be the other Jewish people that rejected it. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. Everybody said rest. That word rest can also be translated Sabbath. Amen. Or repose. It is a Sabbath. As he said, I have sworn in my wrath if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, everybody said today. He limits the time here. After so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Praise the Lord. And I want to do some teaching here tonight, and I hope that you will be attentive to the Word of God. Amen. It's good to be here tonight. I want to talk about the New Testament Sabbath. New Testament Sabbath. Lord, we thank you for the Word tonight. We ask you to anoint it to each and every heart. Lay your hand upon us. We give you thanks and praise in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Amen. One of the good things about starting like this, we've got plenty of time for the Word of God. Amen. We understand tonight that the Old Testament is a figure of good things to come. And as Scripture says, not the very image, but it is the pattern or the shadow of good things to come. And in the very beginning, we have the story of creation and what God did. We're going to look at that here in a few minutes. But in the very beginning, God labored for 6 days, or God created, God worked for 6 days, and he rested on the seventh day. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 11, if you'll turn there with me tonight. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 11, and it says, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth. That's quite an accomplishment. Amen. The sea and all that in them is, and rested on the seventh day, or rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. And so when we look at this here tonight, God had 7 days to pick from. He had 7 days to choose which day he would make holy. That's what that word hallowed means. He made it a holy day. Not the other 6 days. We have to ask the question, why did he hallow or make the Sabbath day holy? Why didn't he just bless the other 6 days and make all 7 days holy? He didn't do that. But I want to talk about something here tonight that I believe is very important to God and should be very important to us as well. And so when Paul began to write this chapter 4 here, or in his writings as he began to write this, he goes into this subject and gives us some great wisdom that we can glean. I want to go through it here tonight, and hopefully we can gain some of the wisdom and understanding of what he was trying to leave to us. Verse 1, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of, entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." And so it's very important. Paul declares here that it's very important that we don't fall short of this, that we get a comprehension and an understanding, and not just a comprehension and understanding, but it becomes a part of our life, that it becomes a part of our relationship with God. And he starts out here with the seventh day, which is the day of rest. And we've got to be very careful that we miss or fall short of this opportunity to partake in the rest or the Sabbath that the Lord has for each of us. Now, there are many that will tell you, or they believe, that we are supposed to have church on Saturday because that was the Sabbath day. And there are some that are Seventh-day Adventists, and some others, Jewish, Messianic Jews, still cling to some of these Old Testament things. But these things were not meant to be forever as a civil ordinance, but it was a shadow of good things to come. Praise God. And verse 2, Hebrews 4 and verse 2, "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." Amen. We talked a little bit about this last night in Bible study, how radical the ministry of Jesus Christ was in his day. And it turned the world upside down. It turned the Jewish world upside down because they had never seen nor heard any of these things. And along comes a man, and he begins to preach the gospel to them. Praise God. That there is going to be a death, a burial, and a resurrection. And Paul reminds them that the gospel which was preached to all of Israel was preached to the people who were his audience here in the book of Hebrews. But there were two different responses. And if you can get a hold of this here tonight, it will really help you in living for God, because we can't serve God outside of walking by faith. Amen. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And faith sometimes makes you walk outside of the box. It takes us outside of our comfort zone, and we do things according to the will of God that we are not used to doing. One of the responses was unbelief or faithlessness. And without faith, there is no benefit to preaching. Amen. I'm convinced that there are many people that go to church, and when they leave, they feel better that they've obligated some religious thing, but it did not profit them. I have seen in my short time of ministry, there are people that will amen you. There are people that will say, "Oh, I believe what you're preaching," but when they walk out the door of the church, they don't live what is preached. Amen. Because deep in their heart, they really don't believe it. Amen. And that's the way it was with Israel. Some of them buttered up to Jesus, but they really didn't believe. They just wanted part of that attention and so forth. And so one of them was unbelief or faithlessness. You know, this is really the dynamics of preaching. I've come to understand, and I heard some of the older ones maybe I shouldn't say that because they're about my age, that they learned that making a mark in people's life is not always shouting and screaming from the pulpit. Praise God. And I thank God for anointed preaching. I love to hear preaching that will stir my heart. Somebody said one time that that if it's real preaching, it will motivate people to do something. Amen. They're not going to leave the house of God the same way that they came, but they're going to be motivated. And this is the dynamics of preaching the gospel. Some believe through their faith and others cast it aside. One can be in the same sanctuary, hear the same word, and they are benefited, and the other is not. Amen. Case in point, the two young men that came Sunday morning, Jayshon and Dalton, and they said before the service they were talking about some things related to, I guess, the kingdom of God and different things. And they came to me after the service, and they said, Pastor, they said, everything you said we were talking about before the service this morning. And that's a benefit to them, praise God. If we come to the house of God and we don't receive anything, maybe it was because we weren't listening. We were blanking out and thinking about what we were going to do after church. Amen. We were thinking about the dinner that we're going to have after church for some of you. Amen. You sacrificed to come. But in the sacrifice, let's receive something from the Lord. Praise God. And the point here is that God rested on the seventh day, and it has a meaning for you and I. What we need tonight is to have that rest. Praise God. Not just to say that we understand it doctrinally, but to have that rest and that joy down deep in our heart. Somebody said amen. Verse 3 and 4 of Hebrews chapter 4. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. Amen. And the point here is to enter into his rest. Be careful that we do not come short of it, but that we actually follow through and we enter in, that it becomes a reality in our life, that it becomes something that we can say, I know what that rest is all about. Praise God. And in the same way that God rested, you and I can have rest, because when this rest comes to us, there's some things here that I'd never seen before, and maybe you've seen them already, when we get into God's rest, we cease from endless works. Amen. Endless works. Works, maybe I should say it this way, I'm not necessarily talking about spiritual works, but I'm talking about working. Amen. I'm talking about spending time doing things in your life and missing out on the real important things in life. Praise God. Not putting down work. And I'm a hard worker and I enjoy working. I feel bad when I can't work. And some of you you know, you can understand because you're the same way. Praise God. I can't just sit around all day and do nothing. I feel guilty about it. But if your whole concept of relationship is works-based or performance-based, you're going to have difficulty in your relationships. Amen. There's not going to be a peaceful rest in your spirit because I've got to go do something. I can't just sit down and talk to my child. I can't just settle down long enough to look my wife in the eye and talk to her, let her talk to me. Amen. And it's very important because it's not just our earthly relationships, but it is our relationship with the Lord that's so very important. Now, I know I'm connecting here tonight because we're all very busy people, praise God. And we come and go, we do a lot of things, and by the time the week is over with, we ask ourselves or we hear it from the pulpit, how much have we prayed this week? Amen. How much of the Word of God have we received this week? And I don't say that tonight to be condemning or to make you feel guilty, but to help us to understand what we are missing, amen, when we don't stop and lay aside our works on a regular basis and enter into the rest that He has for us, amen. Well, somebody said, praise the Lord. We have to ask, did God fall asleep? Is that what it means when it says God ceased from His work? That He did. First and second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth day. He did a lot of work. There was a lot of things that was created by the Word of God, by His spoken Word. And we have to ask ourselves, did God have a big hammock somewhere? Swinging between a couple of trees, and He laid down for a day and just rested. I've often thought about that as a new convert. I wonder what that really means. Did God get tired? Did He have to rest? Did He have to take time off and regenerate Himself and renew His strength and all of that? I thought that way because that's the way it is with us as individuals. As humans, we have to regenerate ourselves, but God has life within Himself. Amen. God does not need to be regenerated because He does not diminish. Amen. God does not diminish in anything that He does. There is nothing that is too hard for God and nothing that wears God out. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. And so the rest that it's talking about here is not resting or sleeping. No, that's not what He did. The answer comes in the definition of the word rest. The word rest here, according to Webster's, is a cessation of motion or action of any kind and applicable to any body or being. As rest from labor, rest from mental exertion, rest of body and or mind, a body is at rest when it ceases to move. The mind is at rest when it ceases to be disturbed or agitated. The sea is never at rest, amen, because the sea is always moving. And so the word rest means repose. It means to stop. That's exactly what it means. It means to cease in motion. For 6 days, God was doing things. There was motion. There was action. There were all sorts of things that were going on. And then on the seventh day, and He didn't have to do this, but He did it. He didn't do it for rejuvenation, but He did it as an example to you and I of the thing that is very important to Him. So very important to Him that when He established the Sabbath in the Old Testament and they could not work on the Sabbath day, They found a man that was picking up sticks on the Sabbath day. Y'all remember that story? And they went to Moses and they said, what do we do with this man? And the Lord said, he must be stoned to death. And they picked up stones and stoned him to death for picking up sticks on the Sabbath day. And we have to ask ourselves, why did God hallow the seventh day to the point that it would be this extreme? And to the point that it would be extreme where Paul would say, let us fear. We've got to be afraid. There must be a fear down inside of us that we miss the most important things about living for God. Amen. The most important things of living for God is relationship. Amen. Having a relationship with God is tantamount to anything else. And in truth here, he stopped working or he ceased from working. And when we think about it here tonight, there's many things that are accomplished by work. But the most important thing is to take time off from working and reflect and draw near to those that we love and build important things. Because God built some great things in 6 days. Amen. Man who is involved in making things and doing things. In our generation, there are so many things that are happening. It's just mind-boggling. The pace of change and innovation and creation in their mind of things. It's amazing. And we're looking for ways to cut time so we can get more done. And it's a very high-pressure society and high-pressure world in which we live. And if we're not careful, we can fall into the trap, amen, of believing and understanding, or thinking rather, that the most important thing in life is doing things. I'm not diminishing from this, because God took 6 days and came and began to build some things, and I'm glad that he did. But all that God built in 6 days, you look at Scripture, everything that God built in 6 days is going to roll up like a scroll. Everything that God built is going to be destroyed by fire, the Scripture says. And everything that you and I build is going to be destroyed by fire someday. Praise God. And so what we've got to understand is the things that we need to build are the things that are more and most important to God. Amen. Genesis chapter 2. Let's look at it here for a minute. Genesis chapter 2. Give you a little nugget here in the middle of the week. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1, 2, and 3. Thus the heavens and earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work. Now notice it doesn't say that he rested yet, but he ended his work. That's what the rest is, which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested or had ceased from all his work which God created and made. Amen. And so we can glean something here that's going to fit in with this New Testament Sabbath. The first 6 days were finished. If you notice that, you'll read in the first three chapters, or the first two chapters, rather, where it says, and the morning and the first morning and the evening were the first day, and the day was over with. And then it starts into the second day, and the third day, fourth, fifth, and sixth day. And the 6 days were finished, and the Bible gives record of the end of that day. It really lets us to know tonight that there's going to be an end of all of our labors. Praise God. The day in the past has finished. Day one is finished, and now we're going to day two. Day two is finished, and now we're going to day three, and so on and so forth. But if you notice in Scripture, it does not say that the morning and the evening were the seventh day. It doesn't say that. It doesn't give us the end of the seventh day, because God hallowed the seventh day. Praise God. I don't know if you've ever seen that before. I'd never seen that before. There is a reason for this, and that is that we must fear lest a promise of entering into his rest. That would be the eternal day. Amen. A day that does not have an ending, and it is a day of spiritual and eternal rest. Praise God. We can glean something here that's going to fit in with us. It's going to be an eternity without fruitless labor. Now, think about it. Now, I'm not here tonight to say that God's labor was fruitless, but if it's all going to roll up like a scroll, then it's only a temporary situation. You could build the most beautiful house in town, but one day it's going to burn to the ground. Praise God. You can drive the fanciest of cars, but one day it's going to rust away and it's going to go to the junk pile. Amen. And so it's the same way with the 6 days. We have 6 days to labor. Mankind labored for that sixth day. And here we are tonight and we labor. The 6 days represent the 6,000 years that God will deal with mankind. The seventh day is a prophetic day that talks about the 1,000 years of peace, which is the seventh day, a day of rest and peace. Amen. But it goes even further than that. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3 through 6. And he goes on with this. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. They were finished. Everything that we discover was there at the foundation of the world. We're not going to create any new thing. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, God did rest the seventh day from all his works, and in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Praise God. And so he establishes something here. He establishes what we have received from the Lord. I have a rest tonight. I have the opportunity to have a rest tonight, a spiritual rest. We've been given the opportunity tonight. If I could, I would shout and dance and run. Praise God. Because I've got a tremendous opportunity here today in living for God. I'm not living for God under the shadow of frustration every day that I get up. But I want to live in the aura of joy and peace, amen, and rest. That's the will of God, amen. The Holy Ghost is given to us. We have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The peace of God, the rest of God, comes through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And so Paul establishes here the truth of what we've received from the Lord, and we've been given this endless day of rest. So now it's no longer one day out of seven, but it's every day. Praise God. Those days are finished. The work is finished. It was over with. But now there is no ending to this day. Praise God. You know, every day that we work, and maybe it's speaking to some of you here tonight, every day that we work, there's frustrations. Now, I know you all have perfect jobs, and there's no stress, and there's no worry, and there's no problems that crop up. But just try to do anything. It doesn't matter what it is. Just try to do anything, and you're going to run into disappointments. You're going to run into troubles. You're going to run into things that break down. Amen. You're going to run into all of these things, and that's what it is called labor for, because we labor. Amen. We labor to do what we've been asked to do, and in the middle of the situation, something crops up. Praise God. Amen. And we say, we've got a problem here. You know, like somebody said one time, everything was going fine until the trouble started. Amen. And that's usually the way it is. Somebody smile just a little bit. Maybe I've been talking about your day today. I don't want to get you depressed. Leave the church depressed tonight. But what we've got to understand is that the labor that we are laboring right now is a temporary situation. It's so very easy for us to get the idea that by gaining and getting, we're going to find happiness and we're going to find rest, but that's not where we're going to get it. We have to do this. Jesus said, you know, all the world seeks after food and raiment and all of those things. But he said, seek first the kingdom of God. He didn't say, don't go to work. Amen. He didn't say, don't apply yourself. Don't dream dreams. And don't do the very best that you can do. Don't get as much as you can in this life and enjoy this life. But he said, it is a priority that we've got to establish in our lives. And it is that priority that God is number one. He is number one. That's why we're here on a Wednesday night when it's crazy freezing cold outside. Amen. Amen. That's why we go out and we invite Sunday school children and adults to the house of God when it's raining. Amen, because we're in the middle of the time of labor, but praise God, we have something down on the inside of us that's different than the world. Amen, we can go to work, and I believe that if you go to work, you ought to be the best worker on the job, because we're an example of what God has done for us. Amen. But we have a day, and it is the Sabbath day. It is no longer a day of rest where we just stop and we don't do anything. And we have that as well, but this is a spiritual day. Somebody said, praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 7. Again, he limiteth a certain day, or he chose a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Praise God. Everybody said, today. That's not tomorrow. We're not waiting for Saturday. We're not waiting for Sunday. We're not waiting for summertime to come so we can frolic and play. Unless you're in business for yourself, praise the Lord. Or you're working for somebody. We're not waiting for a day to show up. Amen. It's almost like we think that we're just waiting for Christmas to show up. And when Christmas arrives, we have a day. Oh, but he said there, he has chosen a day. And the day that he chose is today. Well, praise God. And it's possible to allow what happens in the days of your life to follow you along. But that's not God's plan in all of this. What we've got to understand is yesterday is finished. All the work that we did, all the things that God did, those things are all finished. And the most important thing is today. Amen. Praise God. I know today's about over with and you're ready to go home and go to rest. And I'm going to finish here in just a few minutes, but there remains a permanent day for you and I. And he goes on in verse 8 through 10, for if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Praise God. If Jesus had given the disciples rest, he would not have spoken of another day, but he did speak of another day. Matthew 11 and verse 28. Turn with me tonight. Matthew 11 and verse 28. And verse 29 and verse 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Literally, you could translate that and say, and I will give you Sabbath. I will give you Sabbath. I will give you something that will lighten your load. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Praise God. All of us have yokes and burdens that we have to bear. Every one of us have something that is strapped upon us that we are bearing in life. But Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, and you're going to find rest for your soul. Praise God. And he told them in Luke chapter 24, here's he's speaking of that day. Luke 24, 49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father. The promise is the day of rest upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Anybody have that tonight? Praise God. Y'all look like you're full of the Holy Ghost here tonight. Praise God. Acts 2 and verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Praise God, the day came. After so long a time, Scripture says, the day came, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. All the books of labor in the New Testament, they all end with an amen. Every one of them, they end with an amen. But there's one book, Brother Mike, it doesn't end with an amen. It's because it isn't over with yet, and that's the book of Acts. Amen. There's no amen at the end of the book of Acts because it's not over with yet. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's not over with yet. It's not over yet. It's really not. Amen. I've got another day to live for God tomorrow. Amen. And when we look at this Holy Ghost is not just for this life, but we're going to spend eternity with him. Revelation 22 and verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Praise God. It's going to be an endless day, a day without end. Colossians 2 and verse 16, you know, sometimes we get happy, and folks on the job, they don't understand that. They think you're supposed to be sour, amen, like they are. And they talk down everything, and everything's going bad, and nothing's good. Amen. Said something one time. I was working with a guy, and they said there's going to be an inch of snow, and on the radio, and he went and told the boss, "I'm going home. It's supposed to have 6 inches of snow." And it didn't matter what was said, he multiplied it 5 or 6 times. That was him. That was his attitude. And here I come on the job. Him and I had clashed. We didn't get along at all. And I would just be working away, and one day, you know, everybody was in kind of a glumish mood. It was a fabrication shop. Everybody's dirty. We're working hard. Everybody's sweating. It's hot in the summer and cold in the winter. And one day I just was walking down one of the aisles and just started whistling. Amen. Started whistling one of the church songs. And one of the men that had lots of problems in his life, he stopped me and he said, "Greg, I just got to ask you a question." He said, "How can you be so happy in a God-forsaken place like this?" And I was able to tell him about what the Lord had done in my life. Amen. Praise God. You know what? We've got something to look forward to. We can't look back in the past days. And I'm going to finish with this here tonight. But in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John went up to the temple to pray. And it was the 9th hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, and they laid him daily at the gate of the temple to ask for alms. Who, seeing Peter and John, asked alms of them. And Peter, everybody said Peter. Peter, who was Peter? He was the guy that just a few days ago said, "I don't even know the Lord." He was the guy that 3 times denied his Lord and fled. And was he said, "I'm going to die for you, Lord." But when it came down to it, he fled. He was afraid. Here he is. Peter could have looked back at his failures. Now, I think this will speak to some of us, probably all of us here tonight. He could look back in the past and pull up the catalog. You know, sometimes we get catalogs, those little catalog cards, and we go back and we look through it. A certain day, you know, they tell you what the price of something was when you were born. And all of that, we go backwards and we look at in the past. Peter could have gotten his little file out, pulled it out, and there's a lame man sitting there, and he said, "Well, nothing's going to happen because I've been such a failure." But you know what? What we've got to understand and what they understood is that day is in the past. Praise God. That's when I was laboring, but now I've entered into the rest. And he said, "Give me your hand." And he pulled him up, and God healed him right there on that spot. Revival came to the New Testament church. Amen. And God has that same revival for you and I, if we'll understand what he has given us in this rest. Let's stand together tonight. Praise God. Y'all are so kind to me. God bless you. There are difficulties. Difficulties will come. But I'm telling you, God always has a door that he opens. And there's victory somewhere down the line if we'll stand for God.